All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, if you'll find your place there this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. We love Him because He first loved us. Can you imagine living this life without knowing, without having that blessed hope that Jesus is coming back and that there's more to this life? Think about it for just a moment. What kind of life is it if you're born, you grow up, got to go to all that school? You with me, kids? School, school, and more school. Joshua's done, and he's got about 6 more weeks. And I don't know who's more excited, him or me. And he'll be done. But you go to school, and then you get married, and you're like, oh, I can't wait to get married, and I can't wait to have kids, and then I'm gonna have another one, and then another one, and another one, and another one, and another one, and then all of a sudden you realize it costs money. And they go to doctors. And then you realize that prince doesn't always stay prince and princess doesn't always stay princess. And what all you had all figured out. and now there's wrinkles showing up on your face. And now you're starting to feel things that you never felt before. And then you get to that age. And I'm not saying this in a disrespectful way, but honestly, as I'm watching it, you get to that age where you're almost just waiting to see what's going to happen next with your body. And then you get to that age where you're almost waiting to see who's going to die next. Really, it is. It's like, who's going to get the bad news? Who are we going to lose in our church this year? Who are we going to be brokenhearted over next? I mean, that sounds kind of doom and gloom, doesn't it? And I enjoy life. I mean, I love life. But honestly, if that's all we had to look forward to, and it was like, okay, in a box, in the ground, done. Wow. Pay bills all your life just to die. That's what a life. But I'm glad that we have more to look forward to than just wonder when I'm going to die. I'm glad to have something to look forward to. So whether that takes place after that little dash on my tombstone, if it says, to 2022 one day, or if it says 2052 one day, or whatever that is, I love the fact that I believe the Bible, and I believe that those that have died before us, they are still alive somewhere. And unfortunately, those who die without Christ are burning in hell, will be for eternity. You say, I can't wrap my mind around all of that. I can't either. I can't wrap my mind around eternity because we're used to time and dates. And I was talking to Ben before church. Ben had a birthday yesterday, the big 2-0, 20 years old now. We're used to counting and calculating and so forth. But, hey, I'm just going to take God at His word, and I'll figure it out when I get there. Forever is forever. And I know this, young people, you're going to spend forever somewhere. And I know this, not trying to scare you, but young people die too. You just never know when your time's going to come. And you need to know the Lord is your personal Savior. I'm glad I'm saved. Written in red, Christ died for us, shed His blood for us on the cross of Calvary. Said, I love you and I'll save you if you'll let me save you. Why would you reject that? Why would you turn that down? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, if you'll stand with me, we'll read several verses. Young people, I ask you in the teen assembly earlier, I'll ask you one more time, show some maturity today. Don't talk to your buddy during church, during preaching time. And this is important stuff. If you're a child of God, it could be somebody behind you or beside you that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. You don't want that on your conscience, that someone doesn't know Christ and you bother them during the church service. So pay attention. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 5, the Bible says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to us. You were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Last Sunday morning, we began to talk about end times. And this morning, I'm going to preach again on the rapture. We preached on the rapture last Sunday morning. What I'm actually going to do is, right after the rapture, for us as Christians, we'll be in heaven. And one of the things we're going to do in heaven is we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And there's a lot of misunderstanding about the judgment seat of Christ. So I'm actually going to preach that on Sunday nights, beginning tonight. And so I hope that you'll come back and be here and be a part of that. Next Sunday morning, unless the Lord leads me in another direction for another message, I plan on beginning to preach on the tribulation period. And I tell you what, if Russia may be in the middle of Ukraine by next Sunday, you're going to be amazed how things are going to begin to line up. How things are lining up right now for the return of Jesus Christ. I was in the shower. I know it's a horrible picture, but I was in the shower this morning and I was singing, "The King is coming. The King is coming." Yeah, he's coming. I believe soon. I'm all right with it. Let's pray together. Lord, would you bless our time together in your word this morning? I pray if someone's lost today that they would be saved. I pray that Christians would be further instructed in the truth about the rapture. Help us, I pray. Pray for those that may be watching online today or maybe in the future, God, that if one of them is not saved, God, that you would convict their heart, bring them to that place where they're willing to be saved, trust Christ as Savior. And Lord, I pray for those that are watching online that, God, you would encourage their heart. Those that are Christians, encourage their heart. That at any moment you could come back. Help us, I pray today. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. Keep your Bible open there. This passage lays out, really in just a few verses, lays out the plan for every Christian life. I see salvation in verse number 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And so Paul preached there in the city of Thessalonica, and many people were saved, and a church was planted there, the church at Thessalonica. And so we see in verse number 5, salvation, of course, that's where it starts for all of us, is we must be born again. And you could sit in church week after week and month after month and year after year, but you're not going to get much out of it unless you first have gotten your salvation settled. Then I see that next step of learning and growing in the Lord. In verse number 6, he said, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." And of course, we don't believe in lifting up man around here. I'm not big on it at all. I don't like head tables at banquets. I don't like titles, doctorate, all that stuff. It's just not a big deal to me, because the word minister means servant, and I'm here to serve. But at the same time, you do follow the leadership of your pastor. And Paul said, "Be ye followers together of me, even as I also am of Christ." And someone once said this: if the person you look up to fails you, look up further. Can I add something to that? Look up further in the first place, and keep your eyes on Christ. And I'm not talking about disrespect for a man of God or for a Christian in our church that you look up to. That's great. We ought to have Christian heroes. I'm about as concerned with the Super Bowl as I am about my toilet bowl at my house. I don't care about a bunch of rich thugs who whine and cry about what they do and don't have. Won't watch a second of it. Could care less about a second of it. That's your business if you do. They're not my heroes. Men of God are my heroes. And good, faithful Christians in our church who have served God for years, like Brother and Mrs. Smith, those type of people are my heroes also. So it's okay to look up to people, but you don't set your standard based on what that person does or doesn't do. You set your standard based on what Christ would have you do. So the plan for our Christian life, of course, to be saved and then to be learning and growing in the Lord. And then I see another one here in verse 7. 7 as Christians, we're to be examples and then also learn to teach others how to walk with God. Verse 7, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And then here's another step, and many of you did this yesterday, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to God were to spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. All right, so God wants you to be saved. Of course, wants you to be baptized. We're trying to get our baptistry reopened here within the next few weeks so people can be baptized. He wants you to be a member of a local New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church. And then he wants you to be learning and growing and become an example for others to follow and teach others as God allows. And he wants all of us as Christians to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And then also here, another thing I see in this passage is that we're to faithfully serve God with our life. Look at verse number 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Christianity is not a phase that you go through for a few weeks. You don't get in church for a couple of weeks and then get out. You don't just live for God during your teenage years and then run from God as soon as you graduate from high school. That'd be a very, very foolish thing to do with your life. You turn to God. You turn away from those idols and you faithfully serve God with all of your life. He gave me my first breath. I'll give him my last. I'm going to be faithful to God by the grace of God till the day I die. So make sure that you're saved. Make sure you're learning and growing in the Lord. Make sure you're a good example to anyone who might be following you. Make sure you teach those, whether it's your kids in Sunday school or whether it's your grandkids that come to your Christian home. Spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faithfully serve God with our life. And then I see another thing here, and that is that we're to keep an eye on the sky for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus. We saw last week how that Jesus himself and the angels and the scriptures declared that Jesus would come back one day for his own. We believe in the rapture of the saints. We learned from the Bible last week, if you weren't here, that the return of Christ would be unpredictable. No man knows and no man will know until Jesus steps out on the clouds. We learned last week that the return of Christ or the rapture would be unannounced. There's no way we're going to know ahead of time. It's just in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be out of here. He said, as it was in the days of Noah. And if you watch Hollywood, they'll make you think it started dribbling a little bit. It started sprinkling a little bit. And folks started thinking, oh, no. No, friend, that's not what the Bible teaches. There's not a drop of rain that fell ever on this earth until the day. Hey, young man, let him go out to the restroom. Just go out to the restroom, and that way you can get that cleared up. Okay? Yeah. Go ahead and go now. Yeah, that'll help you out. I don't want to embarrass you. That happens to me, too. When you got to go, you got to go. So, okay? And just let him sit at the back when he comes back. So Christ wants us to be saved and growing, and the return of Christ is unpredictable. We never know when Christ is going to come back. It's not going to be announced. Don't let Hollywood teach you your doctrine. Let the Bible teach you your doctrine. That door was shut. Noah and his boys weren't pulling on it. Hurry up, dummy, it's raining. That is not the case. God shut that door. Noah's human. He never would have been able to shut that door. He had friends and family out there. The return of Christ is going to be unannounced. And then we learned lastly last week, as we were kind of shutting things down out of 2 Thessalonians, that the rapture is going to be unrecognizable to those who are lost without Christ. And so even if you've sat in church for years and heard about the rapture, when Christ comes back, if you have rejected Christ, if you have not gotten your salvation settled, you will not know what happened and you will not have another chance to be saved if you've heard a clear-cut gospel presentation in your lifetime. Now, I like what the songwriter Jim Hill wrote when he wrote these words. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, a wonderful day that's going to be. And it will be a wonderful day. It will be a glorious day when we all get home. When we get to heaven, on that day that Christ comes back, or the day He takes us back maybe at death, we're going to be relocated from this old sinful world. That's going to be enough just in and of itself to get out of this wicked, wicked world that we're in today. Jesus told His disciples, "Where I am, there ye may be also." He's going to take us to heaven one day. One day we're going to go to heaven. We're going to be reclothed with sinless flesh. This corruptible, this sinful, this decaying must put on incorruption. One day we're going to get when we go to heaven, we're going to be reunited with friends and family. David's little child died, and he prayed before he died. He prayed that God would heal him, that He would not allow that boy to die. But he died anyways, and God allowed that for reasons. And but David said this. He said, he cannot come to me, but I can go to him. And friend, listen, I still believe that the people over the years that we buried, my father-in-law, Brother Richard's daddy died this month. I can't remember exactly the year that it was, but friend, I still believe that those people are waiting for us in heaven. And we're going to be reunited one day with friends and family. I like those videos where it shows a soldier that's been overseas for 6 months or so, and they surprise their kid, or they surprise their wife at some ball game, or they walk into a store or wherever it may be, and there's that kid, there's that mom, and they turn around, they kind of take, and they take a look, and they just begin to weep, and oh, there's dad, oh, there's mom. And I still believe that one day that's going to happen to all of us and all of your loved ones who have gone on. I'm looking around the room and thinking about people that we've buried, and people that you said goodbye to, and people that I've been in the room with when they went home to glory. I still believe that book, and I still believe we're going to know, even as also we are known, and we're going to see them again one day in heaven, reunited with friends and family. One of these days, we're going to be removed from sorrow, pain, and heartache. The Bible says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." Our little men's prayer meeting, a few guys come to that on Sunday morning, and 8:30 out in the gym, Brother Hallmark's in there. This morning we had Brother Richard's always there, Brother Parker's always there, myself, Brother Orms, and then Brother Braley was there. He's sometimes at the fire station, or so he says. But when he is here on Sundays, he's there. He was in there, and we're all in our, I guess all of us in there in our 40s, except Brother Hallmark. He's like doubling us. For some reason, he's the only one that doesn't get up from prayer and says, the rest of us get up from being down on our knees praying on the chair there. And it's like, you know, there's always something else that hurts. Aren't you glad one day that's over with? Aren't you glad one day that the phone calls and the negative? We like the good days. We like the easy days. I'm glad one day the hard days are over. We're going to be relocated from this old sinful world. We're going to be reclothed with sinless flesh. We're going to be reunited with friends and family. We're going to be removed from sorrow, pain, and heartache. And we're going to recognize our Savior's face. The Bible says we shall see Him. In fact, it says we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. 1 Corinthians 13:12 tells us this. For now we see through a glass darkly. We see a little bit, but It's not a perfect image. We can't. What are we going to do in heaven? What's it going to be like? What are they doing in heaven right now? There's a little bit here and there, but it says, "For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known." We're not going to become no ones in heaven. You know who's going to become a nobody? Those that die and go to hell. The Bible says the memory of them shall rot. How's that work? They're going to be forgotten forever. They have to be. How else could we be in heaven and not see a specific person and realize they must be in hell, but yet in heaven there are no more tears? Because the Bible specifically says there will be no more memory of them. All we're waiting for is that trumpet to sound. I want to give you some biblical truth about the timing of the rapture. How do we know that the rapture is next? All right. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Now, that may have been more preached than this will be. We'll see. But this is at least some teaching here at the end of the message about how we know that the rapture is near. All right. Again, let's look straight from the Bible. Not my opinion, not your opinion, not the way you see it, not the way I see it. What does the Bible say about the rapture? All right. Okay. Number one, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Number one, you can make yourself a checklist if you wanted to. We can understand from Scripture that we're living in the last days. Okay. 2 Timothy 3. This know also, verse 1, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Dangerous times. We're living there. I have a temper. I think I shared that with you maybe last Sunday night. Another message. I have a temper. I have to let myself be controlled by the Holy Spirit because I can throw a fit. I'm telling you what. And by the way, nothing wrong with having a little temper every once in a while. Just get it under control and let the Holy Spirit of God. One of the things wrong with our country today is we're softening up all the boys. Making little sissies out of them. Putting dolls in their hands instead of big old Tonka trucks. And it's happening. So what's happening is any preacher that speaks up, stands up, squares his shoulders up, is called some kind of mean, hateful, and it's God said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people their sins. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. You certainly can equate that with the homosexual movement, but you also can equate that with everyone kind of does their own thing in our society today. I do what I want, when I want, no one's going to tell me any different. That's Christianity too. Covetous, boasters. Heard any boasters lately? I'll make America great again. Most boastful president I've ever heard. The last one. This one doesn't know what he's going to do, but proud, blasphemers. What? In the last days, what? Disobedient to parents. Hey, are you the last days generation, young people? Unthankful, unholy. Got a lot of mess in churches today because no one's preaching on holy living. Verse 3, without natural affection, of course, that certainly can apply to the homosexual movement. Young men, the natural thing is for you one day to fall in love with a young lady. Young ladies, the natural thing that God put in you is for one day you to fall in love with a young man. But you're without natural affection if you're a mama who could kill a baby in your womb. You're without natural affection if you could have a child and give them up for someone else to rape. Something's missing there. Well, we could preach all of these. We don't have time. This is just in passing. Truth breakers. False accusers. Man, you say one thing online these days, you can ruin someone's life. They don't even have a chance to defend themselves. And if the truth ever comes out, it doesn't matter because a million other people already saw the video that accused whoever it was. Incontinent. Gosh. Incontinent. That doesn't mean the inability to control going to the restroom. That's some older folks going to. I'll tell you what, we're in the last days. I'm with you on the last days. Every 10 miles while we travel. Pays to be a guy. Incontinent, that's you can't control them. That's where we are today. I thank God for Brother Mark. I thank God for Brother Zach. I feel sorry for police officers. Their hands are tied. Fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Preacher, we won't be at church next Sunday. Why? Well, you know, it's going to be warm and, you know, we're going to go down the river. Preacher, we're not going to be back at church Sunday night. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Brother Trent, we're not going to go to youth activity. Going restaurant to restaurant, that's stupid. But yeah, you'll go hang out with all your buddies that cuss, tell dirty jokes, act filthy, talk nasty about all the girls in the school. Are you a Christian? Are you going to start acting like one? Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know what verse 5 is telling us? There's a lot of people acting saved, but they're not saved. They never denying the power thereof. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Denying the power thereof says this: I'm churchy, but I'm lost and on my way to hell. We can understand from the scriptures that we're living in the last days, right? So we can look there and say, boy, it's the last days. But can I be honest with you? Every decade could really say we could put this into the 90s. We could put this into the 80s. Wait a minute. We've had a 10s and a, we've passed 20 years in the, what do you call those? We can call them the 90s, the 80s, the 70s. What do you call the 2000 and what the aughts? The aughts. And then you call them the 20, the aughts, more like the knots. And then the 20 teens. I don't know what you call those, but anyhow, but turn to Hebrews chapter 1 while I'm saying this. Every generation, we could say, well, you could attribute that to the 90s. You could certainly say that was happening in the 80s. Boy, you could say that stuff was happening in the 70s and the 60s. I heard a preacher say this one time. If you grew up in the 60s and you remembered it, you really weren't even there. I don't know what y'all did in the 60s, but Hebrews chapter 1 says this. So we could all say, well, you know, every decade says last days. Yes, but we know when the last days began from the Bible. Hebrews 1 and verse number 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. All right, so that tells us that the last days officially began with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if the last days began then, I got to think we're in the final home stretch now. Turn to Acts chapter number 1. Let me give you another evidence of the impending return of Christ. Number 1 is this. We can understand from the scripture that we're living in the last days. And by the way, there's so many things I'm not going to give you about rapture, because we're going to talk about it in tribulation. We're going to talk about it down the road and in a message on wars and rumors of wars. I mean, I don't think this stuff makes you nervous. It kind of gets me excited. I certainly don't want to see any war. I don't want to see any world war. I don't want to see our young men pulled into something. And I dead sure don't want this commander in chief or chiefette to be the commander in chief leading our troops into World War III. But if I could give you a sneak peek about who's involved in really bad war in the end times, in the whole really tribulation in that time, Russia. It's in the Bible. We'll get to it. When? I ain't going to tell you because then you'll be missing some other Sunday. So, Acts chapter number 1. Number 1, we can understand from the Scripture that we're living in the last days. We understand because we have eyes that we're living in the last days, but we understand from Scripture. Secondly, we know from Scripture that the rapture takes place. This seems simple, but I need to give it to you. That the rapture takes place after Jesus comes to earth and goes back to heaven the first time. Okay? So Acts chapter 1 says this in verse number 1. The former treaties, it's just a written composition. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. I heard someone say this before. Jesus began it and we continue his work. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, no mistaking the fact that they saw him, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for truly John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. All right, so checklist, checkbox number 2. All right, 1, we understand from Scripture we're living in the last days. Because the last days began when Christ came to earth, Emmanuel, he took upon him the form of a man. We know from Scripture, the rapture takes place after Jesus comes to the first. If you knew nothing about any of this, and you took Genesis to Revelation, you tried to figure it out. See, the Jews, the Orthodox Jew today, they do believe that the Messiah is coming. They just don't believe he's come yet. But we know from Scripture that that Messiah cannot come and set up his earthly kingdom until he's come to die for the sins of the world. But check, it's been done. He died for the sins of the world. He rose again. He's back in heaven. All right, so we've passed that second mark. Now, here's number 3. We know from the Word of God that the rapture takes place after or at the end of the church age. That's what you and I are sitting in today. From the time the children of Israel received the Ten Commandments to the time that Christ came to earth, it was known as the age of the law. Jesus said this when he was here on earth. He said, I'm not come to destroy the law. I have come to fulfill the law. In other words, all of those offerings and sacrifices and all of those things, it pointed people to Christ. All those animal sacrifices, they could never make someone saved. Hebrews talks about that. But they all pointed to the Savior, the Lamb of God that would die for the sins of the world. All of those rules, all those laws, all those commandments, they could never be fully followed and fully obeyed. And so, but as Paul said, the law was my schoolmaster, which led me to Christ. He said, I had not known sin except the law told me I was wrong. I was sinning. But he said, I realized that I could never be completely obedient, so I needed a Savior. And he said, I realized that Savior was Jesus Christ. And there in the Bible, in John chapter 1, it tells us that Jesus came to earth full of grace and truth. His coming to earth began the dispensation that we live in today, known as the age of grace. Now, the Bible doesn't say this is the age of the law, this is the age of grace, this is church age. It's how we categorize it, but it's very obvious. You and I are living in the church age because Jesus started the first ever local New Testament church, period, there in the church at Jerusalem. Now, after the church age will be the 7-year tribulation period. Can I just give you a heads up? You don't want to be here. You think COVID's a mess? You think these mandates and these rules and this governmental oversight, you think it's a mess? You ain't seen nothing yet. And you don't want to, but I will show you as we move forward how this is just preparing the world for the tribulation period. We know the tribulation period will not and cannot begin until the church is taken out of the way. Back in our text, it told us this in verse 10, to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The wrath to come, friend. I realize that hell is the lake of fire is God's wrath. But the wrath to come is the tribulation period. Next Sunday morning, I'll give you a bunch of maybe about 15 or 20 titles that the Bible uses to describe the tribulation period. In Revelation, we read about end times. At Revelation, I know Brother Hallmark's class is studying this now, but that book or the study of end times is called eschatology. That's a fancy word for the study of end times. How is all of this going to end? The first activity that we read about is activity within the churches in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. And then we get to Revelation 4:1, and all of a sudden, John hears a voice talking with him saying, come up hither. And that picture is a picture of the rapture. And the next thing you know, John is in heaven and he sees a multitude of believers before the Lord. And then you get to Revelation chapter 6, and that's where the tribulation period starts. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. The Bible goes on to tell us in Romans chapter number 5, when we get there, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9, much more than being now justified by His blood, we should be saved from wrath through Him. We're going to be taken out of this world before the tribulation period begins. I was joking with a preacher friend the other day, and this guy's a seasoned veteran here in Texas and a pastor, and we were talking about something else, and we were talking about coronavirus. We were talking about how it's affecting churches and attendance, and still to this day, 2.5 years later, dealing with it. And I said, and I told him jokingly, I said, man, I'm about to restudy this whole thing about the mid-tribulation rapture. And he just laughed. He said, well, if you discover something I haven't discovered, let me know. I don't believe in a mid-tribulation rapture. I don't believe we're seeing even an ounce of what they're going to see during the tribulation period. I believe we're going to be out of here. Lot in the Old Testament was a picture of Christians being taken out before God's wrath was poured out upon Sodom and Gomorrah there. Noah was a picture of God's people being taken out or being protected, the door being closed before God's wrath was poured out. I know Baptists. I know some Baptists. Some may watch online that believe in some kind of, we have to go through some of the tribulation period. I do not see that in the Bible. I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches. And we'll look further into it down the road. I believe all we're doing as Christians is waiting on that trumpet sound. I know the world looks scary today. We were watching Little House on the Prairie last night. If you've ever watched that series, Sarah has the entire set, and I bought it for her a while back, and I said, I want to watch the one where they blow the town up. If you remember that one, it was the very last show. And this landowner came in and said, I own all this land. This town is mine. They said, well, you might own the land, but you don't own our houses. You don't own our shops. But they took dynamite and blew that entire town up. But I like it. Oh, one of those fellas, Almanzo, he got out in front of his house with I think it was a double barrel shotgun or a 30-30. He just stood there when those guys rode up on the horses. He said, what do you intend to do? He said, this is my house. This is my land. get out of here. And guess what? I do the same thing. We're living in a dangerous world today. You come to my house threatening my family, I guarantee I'm not playing patty cakes with you. I guarantee you better not go to Tim Wagner's house. All right. You can hear him in a tree launching grenades. But in all seriousness, the more dangerous this world gets, I don't want to just fight. I don't want to get myself in trouble. I don't want to get killed. I don't want to get thrown in prison. But I tell you what, I'm going to defend my family. I know the world looks scary today. And I believe we're approaching the end. But we are not in, we are not beginning, and we will not be a part of what the Bible teaches as the tribulation period. Let me give you one more. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. One more truth here, and then we'll finish for this morning. Again, some of this, some of the things I could give you, they fit in other messages, so we'll cover a lot down the road. But we know from the Scripture that the rapture is near because of what is currently happening with the Jews. In 722 BC, Israel was a divided nation. Israel was the name of the northern kingdom. Judah was the name of the southern kingdom. They were a divided people, but they were still a people. They were still a country. In 722 BC, what happened, the Assyrians came and they defeated Israel, that northern kingdom. And the Jews were spread out all over the world. There was a dispersion. In 586 BC, the Babylonians defeated Judah, the southern kingdom, and the rest of the Jews were spread out all over the world. Now, we read Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, and they go back to Israel. They go back to what we know as Israel. But if you take those two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel has never gone back in the sense of they never went back and started. It was Judah that was allowed to go back. And if you read your Bible, there weren't very many of them at that moment that actually went back. They were in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. That's most of us in here would have been born during that time. Those people knew nothing about the Canaan land. They were in Babylon. They just chose to stay there. So not many people went back. So I'm saying since 722 BC, Israel, the people were just spread everywhere and all over the world. If that wasn't enough, in 70 AD, after Christ was here on earth, the Romans, remember Titus and the Romans came in and destroyed Jerusalem. And Jesus prophesied about that. This dispersion was known as the diaspora. Since 722 BC, the Jews have never really had their own country to call home. Over 2,500 years, no homeland for the Jews. But God said this in Jeremiah. Look there with me at Jeremiah chapter, I'm in 33. Let me turn to 23. Listen to what God says about what's going to happen in the last days, in the end times. Jeremiah 23, verse number 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my flock, ye have scattered my flock, driven them away, have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And so that's going back to these prophets and preachers that were not preaching truth. People were not getting right. And so God sent these enemies upon Israel and Israel was dispersed. Verse 3. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them and will bring them again to their folds and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them and they shall fear no more nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Now, this is talking about the millennial kingdom in Acts 1, where they said, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? Here he's saying, I'm going to send the king, Jesus Christ. I'll raise unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper, shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. This millennial reign happens after the 7-year tribulation period. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely This is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. So for over 2,500 years, Jews didn't have a land. But God said, there in the end, I'm going to gather my people back together. It's called the end gathering of the Jews. I am the end gathering of the Jews. Excuse me. You know your history. In 1948, Israel was recognized again as their own country. 74 years ago. God said they're dispersed everywhere, but right before the end and during the millennial kingdom, I'm going to bring them back. And nearly 100 years ago, now 74 years ago, Israel was established and recognized as its own state. For the first time in over 2,600 years, the Jews had a homeland. In 1967, I'm just about done. I'm going to get to an interesting point in just a moment. You know, these are dates and things. In 1967, Israel took full control of Jerusalem for the first time in over 2,000 years. What did President Trump do? Set the United States Embassy back up. Took it from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in his time just a few years ago. In the past 74 years, millions of Jews have moved back to Israel. I was in Israel. It's been about 18 years ago now. We went to the north where the Golan Heights were. There's still from that 67 war. There are still landmines all over the place. They won't let you off the road. They have fencing because of the old war. There are places you can't go, but we went to this outpost, and this outpost, these men, young men, soldiers were armed with these whatever weapons they were up on this hillside, and they could look out and they could see Syria and they could see Jordan, and we could see Muslims on the hillside in those countries praying. They had pulled over their vehicle on the side of the road, looked like a nativity scene at our church. The same outfit, they got out and they're praying, and we're talking to these guys, and they have to protect those borders of Israel all the time, night and day. But we were talking to these guys, and guess where they were from? The Bronx. They're from New York. Most Jews moving back to Israel right now, they say, are like 35 years old and younger. Bunch of young adults going back to defend their land. See, most of them don't even realize what they're doing is fulfilling prophecy. Listen to this. In 2021, immigration into Israel increased by 31%. 4,000 U.S. Jews moved to Israel in 2021 alone. In the last 8 years, Jewish immigration to Israel has grown over 65% compared to the previous 8 years. And God said, I'm going to gather my people back together in their land. I don't know about you. Something's fixing to happen. I believe Jesus is coming back. I believe he's coming back soon. I believe that no matter what, if he comes back this year, if he comes back next year, if he comes back 20 years from now, 40 years from now, the Bible tells me in several places that I need to make sure as a child of God, I'm always prepared. I'm saved. That's not a problem. But I don't want God to come back and find me at the bar room. Right. I don't want God to come back and find me having cheated on my wife and wound up in divorce and blew my home apart. I don't want God to come back and find me making an excuse sitting on a couch when I ought to be in church. Or I don't want him to come back and find me having gone back to some past life or some messed up life. Because we as Christians know what the Bible teaches. At any moment, trumpet could sound. Let's live every day like this could be our last.